spinning wheels! It is Sunday, January 22nd, 2012. I'm Sam Mentor, Yvonne Bo is here, and this is Curmudgeon's Corner.
Hello, everybody! Hello!
And as we record this, Yvonne and I were talking about topics for the show, and you know, he started out by saying, I think we can do the whole show on what's going on with the Republicans right now. We've got a couple other topics if we sort of start running dry, right. But, you know.
But I told Sam that I wanted to start off. There's been something up in the last couple of days, and I had this subject that I forgot about because I just spent really the last 2 hours reading on some of the election stuff this morning. Yeah. I started off with really, I was about to sit down to do that, and I dropped a very heavy object on my foot.
Oh, good job. Yep.
All right. Yep. I mean, I was about to get ready to get dressed for the gym, but after doing that, I am not going to do that at this stage. So I sat down in my chair and I'm like reading about all this election stuff. But one of the things that I've been trying is I am trying to declare war on my junk email. All right. Okay. Because honestly, it's gotten to the point, and I know this, I've known this for, this has been going on for, it got worse over the last year and a half, and I've been like kind of like ignoring it, but it's been making it difficult to use my personal email address. I mean, there is so much of it coming in, and it is just crowding out any real communication, and I am just, you know what? I'm not sure what to do. Because this is the one thing. I go right, and I have iCloud, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, iCloud says it's supposed to be filtering junk mail. Now, I'm like, fuck. If this is filtering junk mail, I mean, shit. I mean, it's just not happening. So then it says, of course, I have my client applications, which supposedly have junk mail filtering.
Right. Are you mainly using mail.app on okay.
Yeah. And like right now I did, you know, what I did right now is that I basically took it to the point where I just put it that there are no fucking email addresses accepted from junk mail filtering. I reset all the rules on it, okay, for mm-hmm. junk mail filtering because it didn't seem like the rules, whatever it learned, was just, you know,
bad.
Garbage.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I reset those, but I still.
So here,
I'm just frustrated, man. I mean, I am getting, honestly, I got real emails today, and I'm like, you know, this weekend, I mean, I probably got like 200 or 300 total emails on my personal inbox. I can't deal with this, plus the fact that I'm getting this bombardment of work email. I mean, I can't do this. And let me tell you something, that emails that were real the last 2 days, there were a lot. Unfortunately, I am on my condo board. Okay, all right.
Mm-hmm.
So I get a lot of email as well that is real. So on a weekend day from, say, my wife and the board, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36 real emails interspersed probably with about 80 junk ones or 100. And, you know, it's just, I don't know. What do I do, Sam?
So let me give you a few thoughts. And first of all, let me say, yeah, I'm having this battle too. Now, first of all, I'll tell you one thing I haven't done. But lots of people say, if you haven't done this, you should. Which is that they say, you know, there are certain services for webmail that are much better at this than others. And particularly, I hear people time after time after time saying Gmail, Gmail, Gmail. And saying that it's much better at filtering the spam. And With the whole priority inbox things, that can sometimes be helpful, although I've heard people say that screws things up sometimes too. Now, I have not done that. And mainly, you know, I like having my primary interface to my mail through a client. I like having local copies of all my mail.
I agree.
I don't want to be completely cloud-based on that kind of stuff. I'm okay with, you know, some of my mail being stored in a cloud for a while, but then I want my permanent archives on my machine, and I always want a local copy no matter what. And you can do that with Gmail, but that takes away a lot of the benefit because then your primary interface is the client, not their web, you know, interface.
I don't want a web. I don't want a fucking web client.
So
start off with that.
So to continue, I don't do that either. That's why I may reevaluate it sometime in the future. Who knows? But I have the same basic setup as you have in that I'm using Apple's webmail. And my iPhones and stuff to look at mail. Work mail is separate to me. I don't have them going into the same place. But here's what I've done. So first of all, you're absolutely right that it seems like occasionally you need to reset the rules on mail's spam system. But then when it starts out from scratch, it really sucks too. So you have to be really religious for a couple weeks about actually hitting the spam button on everything that comes in that's spam and hitting the not spam button on right. everything that gets misclassified as spam. And that's important, too. Actually looking in the spam folder for false positives.
Right.
I find it does that a lot, too, initially. But the other thing I did, and a few months ago, I just said, you know, fuck it. I am done. I am going whitelist only for my email. And so what I did was I set up a... So I've got the spam filtering turned on. I let it do that first. But then I have another rule set up that just says, if you are not in my mailbox, dump you to another folder.
I see.
And so if you... And not in my mailbox. If you're not in my address book. If you are not in my address book, explicitly in my address book, I tell it, dump you to a folder of unknown. So basically, I have three levels that are there at any given time. I have my inbox. And the only way you get into my inbox is if you are actually in my address book. Period.
Okay.
And then I have... the unknown addresses, which are things that did not get caught by the spam filter, but are not in my address book. And then I have the spam folder itself.
Just got another piece of spam right now as we spoke.
So what I've been doing lately, and I've been playing around with sort of my methods on this, and I'm not entirely satisfied, but where I am as of right now is the stuff that actually goes into my inbox, I look at all the time, I answer it when it comes in. If I've cleared out my main inbox, or every once in a while, I try to make sure not to let it go too many days, I will look through the second folder, the people who aren't in my address book but did not get classified as spam. And everything in there, I guess there are three things to do with them. And I will actually open and look at every mail that gets into this folder. I'll just do it less often. If it's actually spam, I'll hit the spam button to train the system. If it's somebody that I actually wanted that mail from, I'll add them to my address book to make sure that I will get their mail in the future. And then there's a third category, I guess, where it's like, it's not really spam, but like, I wouldn't care that much if I missed it, and maybe I don't add them to my address book. Okay. I might do that with somebody where, you know, it's a marketing email, but I don't really want their marketing email, so I'm going to go ahead and click the unsubscribe button right then and there, too.
Okay.
You know? And so this, I think, yeah, if you sort of keep to, and then the spam folder itself, I also look at occasionally, less often than I do the other two. And that one, I don't open up every email. I scan that folder looking for false positives. And whenever I scan it, I delete the ones that are really spam. And if I find a false positive, I click the not spam button and then add them to my address book.
Okay.
And I think that's working okay in that if I'm looking at my main inbox is now a lot cleaner than it used to, and I can concentrate on that mail. Having said that, you know, my spam folder is still, like, very full, and I'm not keeping up necessarily looking for the false positives. And while you train, like, I just recently reset my mail program spam rules as well. And while they are not yet fully trained, a lot of spam is going into that medium folder too. But I know that that's a temporary thing until the spam thing gets trained a little bit more. The other thing that I've found, is useful here, is, you know, you mentioned using multiple mail clients, like you've got mail running on different machines and are looking at your mail, right?
Or correct. Yep.
And so, of course, because it is a client system, they don't sync, and maybe this is something they'll do in the future, but right now they don't sync the spam rules.
I know.
Which is really obnoxious. So, like, what I'm doing right now is I only do the spam training on one machine. And then I leave that machine, which is a desktop, up and running all the time.
Which is what I'm thinking about doing right now with the desktop here. And I think I'm going to leave that one running.
What happens, and for instance, like the iPhone doesn't even have on its interface a "this is spam" button.
And that's the one thing that I found really fucking annoying. Neither does the iPhone and neither does the iPad have that.
Right. And so like, if I...
It's counting all on the fucking, like, cloud level filtering to work, and there is nothing also on the cloud level for you to go and, like, train the fucking rules on your spam either.
Right, and so, you know, I rely on the one machine that's the desktop at home where I train the spam rules being on, because if that thing goes down, then
it's all fucked up.
Then it's all fucked up because, you know, all my rules that are saying, you know, if it's not in my address book, get rid of it, don't run, and so all of a sudden everything's in my inbox. Because I can't, you can't set up those kinds of rules on the clients on iOS either. And I also have another, you know, my work laptop, I do set it up so I can look at my home email there, and I don't do any other rules there either, because that just confuses things. But, so anyway, that's my current strategy, and it's sort of like especially when you first set it up. I also, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this here, but I nuked my address book a few months ago.
I remember that we had that discussion.
Yeah, I had tried those various address book cleaners and stuff, and it was just my address book was too crufty, too much crap. So I nuked it and started over from scratch. So I also, you know, at first, you know, nothing was going in my inbox because I had nothing in my address book. But over time, I've added back, you know, blah blah blah, and it you know, again, in terms of what actually gets to my inbox, it's pretty good at this point. I think the only downside at this point may be that, like, you know, it's all mail that either is from people or are from, you know, services or companies that I actually asked for their mail. And my only thing at this point is, like, you know, for some of those services and companies, do I really want this? Maybe I should turn off this mail. Maybe I should unsubscribe. As opposed to, you know, all your Viagra and Get Rich Quick and all the other crap.
I know. I mean, I keep getting the one that I just don't understand. I keep getting this one, like, every fucking day. And I keep clicking. And, well, that's why I reset the rules. I keep clicking on a junk, and it still keeps appearing in my inbox.
Well, you know, I have one problem, actually. Like, there's a certain – like, even though I have my rules set to, you know, exempt – addresses in my address book from junk mail filtering, some of my own mail, some of my own automated email that I have my systems do keeps ending up in the junk folder, and I keep hitting not junk, not junk, not junk, and it keeps going there anyway, which is really fucking annoying me, because I'm like, I clicked the damn button that says if you're in my address book, you are not spam, but sometimes it puts it there anyway. And anyway, go ahead.
No, I keep getting this one to either be an x-ray technician or a sonogram technician. I mean, I'm like, every day! And I'm like, I keep clicking. This is what I was frustrating.
I think at some point, Yvonne, you should just, like, get the message.
I should get the message? I should, you know, I should become? Okay. All right. Yeah. That may be the problem. Okay.
I think that is indeed the problem. Just go with the flow, Yvonne.
Go with the flow. I'll sign up to be the sonogram technician. Okay, all right. Okay, very good. All right.
I think that would actually be an interesting experiment. For 24 hours, buy every product that comes to you in a scam.
Now that you mentioned that, let's see what the products are that came in the last 24 hours. Okay, for the last 24 hours, I got, let's see. All right, go back 24 hours. Okay, deal. Spirit Airlines, okay, travel. Phoenix Mesa to Las Vegas, trip, okay. Get an alarm from ADT, okay. Something about the Democratic Senatorial Campaign Committee, donate money to a campaign.
You probably actually are on a mailing list, I'm sure, that they got legitimately.
Oh, look, a quarter carat, twin round diamond, stud earrings, 14K white gold from buy.com. For $139.99, woman's guess watch, sandals, K women's double face, pure cashmere scarf, men's open bottom leather bomber jacket. Oh, yeah, this is great. Valentine's gift. Okay, so there you go. I got a whole list of stuff. A Samsung Galaxy S2 Epic. If I bought everything on this email, I'd be bankrupt. But no, well, not bankrupt, but.
So here's the last offer
from Spirit. Overstocked auctions, the X-ray technician deal, ultrasound technician right afterwards, buying refurbished ink cartridges, some Groupon coupons, something to wax plastics, clothes from Express. Apparently they include female like thongs, something about don't get a wedge in your ass, something. And pizza from Papa John's, and pizza from Pizza Hut.
Now some of the things you mentioned, I believe you might actually be on their mailing list and you could unsubscribe, but...
I saw the senders. It wasn't like coming from PizzaHut.com or something. They were coming from some third-party marketing fucking people.
Yeah, well, and that's actually fairly common. A lot of companies use third parties to send their mail. You're probably getting the Pizza Hut mail because you ordered a pizza from Pizza Hut.
I agree, but the one thing is that it's not coming from PizzaHut.com. It's coming from some fucking, like, random third-party thing. I'm not sure who the fuck is this sender.
Right.
And I'm like, and I'm not, you know, if I'm not seeing this really coming from, like, Pizza Hut, I don't want it in my inbox.
Yeah. So. And there are a variety of ways senders can do that kind of stuff better, but the bottom line is, like, you know, spam is in the eye of the beholder. If you don't want the mail, then it doesn't actually matter how they got your name and what,
right.
In the end, you're going to classify it as spam like you just did, because
right.
You may have a relationship with Papa John's. You may have a relationship with Pizza Hut. You probably did at some point give your email address to some Democratic Party mailing list to get that thing for the Senate.
Right.
But you're like, I don't want this crap.
You're right. I don't. It's driving me crazy.
And that's even the guys who are, you know, that are acting like above board. They actually got your name legitimately. They're marketing to you. And then there's all the people who didn't, who are just sending you mail for whatever.
Whatever fucking reason.
You know, anyway, here's my last five emails, spam emails that have come in. All of which, by the way, have come in since we've been recording this show.
Oh, God.
So, let's see. I have one. Do you enjoy cooking a good home meal? Then you need this revolutionary new cooking pan called the Oregrenic.
I've gotten that email too.
Okay.
How the hell did these people get? I mean, who are they using to? I gotta admit, I gotta give them credit. I don't know who the hell they're using for the fucking thing, but I've seen this on TV, and my God,
you watch it.
I watched it because I was in the gym, right? And I saw them hammer the thing and destroy it and whatever, whatnot. But damn it, they've been effective at sending emails to everybody, for God's sakes, on this.
And then I've got, do I need a pre-approved loan? They have pre-approved me for a $1,500 cash deposit that can be in my account today.
Woohoo! Yeah, all right.
Is my garage a mess? We can help. Single moms are earning up to $2,700 every week from home.
Dude,
find out how.
Dude, $2,700 a month.
And the garage, the garage apparently is one of these steel building things. So you know, that's just what I need. Oh, and critical, there's been a change to my Experian credit score. My attention is required.
Well, do you have actually a subscription to Experian for that shit?
No, I do not.
Okay, so...
The from address is destinationwaterfront.com.
Oh, yeah, great. Beautiful. Okay.
And then free price quotes for document management systems.
Well, there you go. That probably I was selling that. But anyway...
And that's only half of the emails that have come in since we started recording.
Jesus Christ.
Actually, less than that, probably.
Shit, you're getting more... I mean, you're getting a hell of a lot more than I am, and I'm fucking complaining. My God.
Well, okay. You know, here's the thing with me, and then we'll wrap up this topic, because we've been going a long time on this.
Yep.
You know, my email address has been public and on the internet for, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
So, these days, if somebody's coming on the internet, they tend to be fairly careful. They'll have an email address that they, you know, that they use for friends and family. They might have a different one that they use when they sign up for things.
Sure.
They are careful about where and how the address gets exposed online. You know, back when we started, that wasn't really a big concern too much.
No, it wasn't.
And so, your email address is on my website. You know, and so all of the spammers who wanted to just go out there and scrape and all the internets on the all the internets, all the email addresses on the internet, have all our email addresses, and will have. I mean, and I know of people who've declared email bankruptcy as well, and just said, "Fuck it, my old address is dead. Here's my new email address that none of the spammers know about."
I've been thinking about that at this point, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I've been seriously thinking about it. I'm just like, you know.
And then you be ultra careful with that new address and who you give it to.
Yeah.
And you know, there are more complicated things people do too, like in terms of setting up temporary fake addresses whenever you sign up for anything online, things like that. You know, I'm not quite there. That's like, because like, if I'm actually signing up for something, I want to get their email to tell me the product shipped or whatever. You know,
agreed. I know,
but you know, but I get really pissed off at once they start sending marketing emails. Sometimes, I mean, some of it's okay. There have been a few companies where I've paid attention to their marketing email for a while because it wasn't half bad. But at this point, I am so underwater with these kinds of things. Like I said, a few months back, I went whitelist only. I'm like, if you're not on my list, I don't see your email. Sorry. You know, and what the, and you know, real mail occasionally gets into that, well, not occasionally, on a fairly regular basis gets into that medium folder, which is why I check it regularly. But it does keep my main inbox pretty clear.
Okay. All right. So on that note.
Let's take a break.
We'll go to the elections.
And we'll do elections probably for the rest of the show after talking for 25 minutes on spam, or almost half an hour on spam. So we'll take a break. We'll be back after this. Elections. So, First thing, I reposted on my site, for those who don't remember, the whole Newt Gingrich, Newt Shall Rise thing. You should refresh your memory and watch it if you haven't seen it lately.
I watched it recently before you posted it, because it is hilarious. I mean, you know, let's start off with that. I mean...
But out of the billowing smoke and dust of tweets and trivia emerged Gingrich! Once again ready to lead those who wouldn't be intimidated by the political elite and are ready to take on the challenges America faces.
Yes.
Anyway.
Yes. Quote, unquote, because that's literally, quote, unquote, his press release. So.
Because the literati sent out their minions. Anyway.
Yes.
Anyway, so when we talked even a week ago,
yeah,
it looked like Romney was going to do a cakewalk in South Carolina.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden, if you look at the charts of the polls, and I posted this as well on Friday night, Saturday morning, Gingrich spikes like nuts. I mean, he went from just over 20% in the polls to getting 40% on the actual election day in less than a week.
And you know, so I'm at the Real Clear Politics page,
yep,
right now. There's two banner ads, okay, with Gingrich. The one on the right is a quote, reads with a quote by George Will, the least conservative candidate. It checks ethics violations, check, took money from Freddie Mac, check, supports amnesty for illegals, check, defeat Newt, register to vote, paid for by Restore Our Future Incorporated. Okay.
Yeah.
This is like the one thing. And then at the top, I got one that says Newt the Fighter, the only conservative who can beat Obama, paid for by Winning Our Future, not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about what happened in the last week, and then we can start like the war that's about to go on.
Yes.
Which
is going to be war.
Which that is a preview of. But
bloody red big time war. We got to love this. I mean, this is really good. I love this. Yeah.
So but like let's see in the last week. First of all, Gingrich had already released his big Bain
I was going to say Romney. Are you talking about this big Bain, what, power attack against
Romney? Yeah, the power attack on Bain against Romney had been out there before this last week. It was, but it was gaining some momentum. But then the big thing that happened was, first of all, we started getting, Drudge in particular was hyping up the, oh my God, his ex-wife is going to say stuff that'll destroy his campaign. Because apparently she had said in the past that she had the power to destroy his political career with one interview. And so, then it started leaking out that was going to happen. And then, it was like, oh, okay. He gets asked about it at a debate, and he completely, like, knocks it out of the park with his answer, and not in any substantive terms. But
what did he say in response to it? Because I didn't see this.
Oh, you didn't see this on the second?
No.
Okay,
no, please,
basically,
give the highlights.
I don't have a transcript here, but bottom line is, Newt. The interviewer, and this was the second debate of the week, so there's stuff to say probably about the first one as well. But the interviewer says, look, it's been reported that there'll be a thing on ABC tonight, an interview with your ex-wife, that she says that you asked her for an open marriage and blah, 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 blah. Would you like to answer these accusations? And he says, no, but I will anyway.
Nah.
And so that gets a big applause line. And then he goes into like 2 minutes of railing against the media and how could they bring up a question like this and how despicable it was and blah, blah, blah. And then it's
so he didn't address any of it.
No, no, at the end he said, and it's all false.
And it's all false.
But that was like an afterthought at the end. For the most part, he spent a couple minutes, on a tirade against how this kind of question was illegitimate, and, you know, how blah, blah, and how the media was evil, and it was low and underhanded, and blah, 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 and I forget the exact words, but the audience at the debate was eating it up. You know, they were applauding. He got a standing ovation. You know, and anyway, and basically, he neutered that complete issue. Now, and look, frankly,
wording, by the way, for this.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yep. No, I'm saying you used the right verbiage.
Oh, neutered?
Yes.
By the way, I mean, I don't necessarily disagree that much that, you know, that kind of thing is a sideshow and, you know, whatever.
Well,
you know, divorces are messy. And then, by the way, the interview came up and it was like nothing really new that surprised anybody. And it was like, oh, okay, whatever. But, yeah, the thing with Newt, of course, on this issue is always that it was a hypocrisy thing because apparently, you know, on the same week that he was having these difficulties with his wife and telling his wife, and his wife found out about the affair, and he asked, and basically the order of events, by the way, is apparently that he asked for a divorce, she said no, and then he said, well, I'm going to keep seeing her anyway. And that was the request for an open marriage. You know, and these things are messy. But apparently the same week, he went out and gave a paid speech on family values somewhere and how...
Well, that's... You know. But that's my point. I mean, my point is about this. It's like, look, you know what? You want to fuck everybody? I'm okay with it. I don't give a shit. But, you know, but you can't be selling yourself as Mr. Fucking Family Values when you're fucking around with every fucking bitch you find. Okay? And you're married. And supposedly you value the sanctity of marriage. What the f- I mean, either you don't believe in this crap or you do. But, you know, I mean.
But he's flawed and he's made mistakes.
Oh, for God's sakes. He's flawed and he's made mistakes.
Well, I mean, that's the typical defense for these kinds of things is, the fact that I don't always live up to my ideals does not mean that they're not good ideals to live up to.
I mean, this is like some fucking guy who's like, you know, this would be like George Bush saying that he's against alcohol, right? Now, he actually did give up drinking, okay, completely.
Yeah.
Okay, but if George Bush, well, you know, they caught him like 17 different times after he supposedly gave up drinking, like drunk off his ass, like fucking like fucked up and shit face. I'm like, well, it's just that I'm flawed. Well, either you gave it up or not. Or don't go and like sell me on this shit that, you know, how alcohol is evil if you're not fucking, you're not, I don't know.
So anyway, he knocked that issue out of the park and basically, you know, the argument had been, the reason that it was like this could destroy him was because supposedly these are conservative family value people who would be disturbed by affairs and this kind of stuff.
Well, but they had a governor who went to Argentina and like, fucked, I don't know, what the hell? Yeah.
But right. Time after time after time, what we've seen with conservative right-wing folks who get into these kinds of scandals is that in the end, they're based is okay. Yeah, their base is like, you know, everybody's imperfect, we forgive you, type stuff. And they come out of it okay.
In Newt's case, you're right. I think that, you know, this most of the stuff, most of the people, let's face it, I mean, everybody's got their marriage and, like, relationship issues. And I think that most of the people were like, whatever. But the one thing is, it's still, okay, so they focused on that instead of focusing on really all the shit that's getting everybody riled up. And I think Romney this week, really, he took it up the you-know-what because of the whole revelation, for example, that he barely paid any taxes.
Well, and this was the next thing to bring up is that on both debates, especially the second one again, but like all week long, Romney has been completely flubbing the tax issue because, you know, his opponents have been saying, release your taxes. Newt also, I got to give him another masterstroke. You know, he released his taxes during the debate.
Okay.
You know, and so someone asked the question, when are you going to release your taxes? And he's like, I just did. And then Romney is like, I'll release my taxes in April once I do my taxes. And they're like, how about previous years? And I'm like, well, yeah, I'll release them, but I'll release them at the same time. And they're like, how your father, when he ran for president many years ago, released the last 12 years. Will you do that? Maybe, I don't know.
What a fuck?
Why don't you release? And this was awesome too. Why don't you release your previous year's taxes now, and you can release the new taxes later? And he's like, well, you know, we want to release them all at once because, you know, if we release them now, you know, the Democrats are gonna, you know, make it a big issue and are gonna blah 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 blah. Yeah.
Oh my God, what a fucking idiot. My God.
Basically, he outright admitted, releasing my taxes is going to be fucking embarrassing and is going to be a problem for me at some point. And right. I'd rather it be a problem in the general election than be a problem now. I have to say, one of the items that broke this morning, just in the last couple hours, is he's giving in to the pressure. He's releasing his taxes on Tuesday.
That. Right, right. And he's going to release a preliminary for the 2011 taxes as well.
And like the bottom line on all of this stuff is like what you said. What this will show is that he didn't actually, I mean, as a percentage, he's not paying all that much. Well, and
what it's
going to
show is what I've been fucking complaining, and that all the fucking goddamn idiotic, stupid fucking right-wing conservative Republicans don't get. That if you're very wealthy and you make all your money on investments or whatever, you pay less taxes than the fucking average American citizen. And that it's just totally unfair. And they don't want to fix it.
Well, they want to make it more so. If you look at
exactly, they want to make it worse. They want a guy like Romney to pay, hey, I paid 15, you know what? Make me pay 10.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you look, there have been a number of sources that have shown the tax plans of the various Republican candidates as to what the gain or increase will be at various income levels. And almost all of them have the basic pattern that people with lower incomes will pay more and people with higher incomes will pay less. The one exception, by the way, is Gingrich, where everybody will pay less, but the higher you are, the greater the decrease.
What the fuck, man? What is wrong with these assholes? Well, I know what's wrong. I mean, I'm sorry. I mean, the thing is, Romney shot himself in the foot again. The answer he gave to his speaking fees.
Oh, yeah, not very much.
Not very much. I just made $384,000. That's not very much. That's not very much, you asshole!
Which, by the way, leads to another thing. In the exit polls in South Carolina, and we are having some email discussions on this, and one of the things Yvonne said is, you remember, South Carolina is not representative of the rest of the country. But one of the things that, in the exit polls in South Carolina, if you looked at voters by income bracket,
yep.
The only voter groups that, by income bracket, that Romney won were people making over $200,000.
He is the business candidate, okay? He definitely is. No doubt about it, okay? He is their guy, all right? I mean, I've been reading the business press who, you know, has been supportive of him, and they were having a Newt Slamathon. Okay, all right, this weekend, all right? They were just after him, like, big time. I mean, you know, so, yeah, I mean, he is the business candidate. They don't like any of the other guys. There's a good reason they don't like any of the other guys, because, like, some people are saying, you get a Gingrich-Santorum, like, ticket, forget it. It's game over, okay, for the Republicans. And they know it.
Alex just joined us.
Ah, they know it. So...
Well, yeah, and people were, by the way, at the Gingrich's victory speech, there were people in the audience yelling, Santorum VP. And, I mean, really? Oh, my God, what a ticket.
What a ticket. My God, what a fucking ticket. I mean, Jesus Christ. So, I mean, but I will go back and say this. I still think, here's the thing. So, up to now, let's start, you know, we've had Santorum been declared the real winner in Iowa.
Yep.
Right? Okay, so that's note one. Gingrich, I mean, Romney won New Hampshire, correct? Right? Okay, so he got that. And now we've got Gingrich winning South Carolina. Now. The next big state, I think it's my state, right?
Yeah, Florida. So actually, as we transition into reviewing the past and talking about the future, let's take a quick break, and we'll be back, and we'll game out the race for Florida and beyond. We'll be right back after this exciting message.
Bye.
And we're back.
Now we're back. Now no more bye. Okay.
I'd already stopped the recording. I said we'll be back, and Alex said bye.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway. No. We're back. So the future, yes, Florida. Here's the thing. You know, there are a number of people after South Carolina already getting completely and totally. Oh my God, Gingrich has got this done. He's gonna win, and this includes some people I've been reading who I respect. I mean, Andrew Sullivan's there, and some other folks.
I think they're just all freaking out.
And they're all freaking out. But you know, I don't think we're there yet. I mean, look, here's the bottom line. Yes, this is clearly a blow to Romney. You know, it's not like one of these things where it's like, this is good news for Romney. Bye, Alex. He was being okay. Anyway, Alex just got forcibly taken away by his mom.
Okay.
Oh, he's back.
I'm back.
Okay. Where was I? People are freaking out.
Yeah.
But the calendar still look Romney's still ahead in delegates. Although the gap has clearly been narrowed. And the upcoming calendar starts to look better for Romney as we go through the next month, you know? So, first of all, we've got Florida coming up. Now, the polls have had Romney with a significant lead in Florida. But, you know, I will say the lead he has in the polls in Florida is about the same size. Okay, here you go. What? Let me turn down the volume a little bit. He's playing a game on my iPhone.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, yeah, go ahead. You can do that. So the lead he has in Florida right now is comparable in size to the lead he had in South Carolina.
Okay.
And that evaporated in a week, and there have been no new polls in Florida since that evaporation in South Carolina.
I agree, but Florida is also a very different state.
It is. It is indeed.
Okay,
so this is. I'm very eager to see the first new polls coming out of Florida, because Florida, by the way, has more delegates at stake than all of the states that have gone so far combined.
Correct.
You know, and it's a winner take all state. So there's none of this like. You know,
you'll get four, you'll get six, blah, blah, blah. I gotcha.
Right.
Yep.
So, like, you know, if Romney, you know, beats Gingrich by one vote, he gets all 50 delegates coming out of Florida.
Right.
Or vice versa. And so I think the basic dynamics of the race coming out of Florida are, by the way, if Romney still wins Florida, then people will be like, maybe this Gingrich thing wasn't that much. I guess we'll see the next couple states, but Romney's clearly ahead again. Maybe there's a little bit of a battle, but he's going to win. If Gingrich wins Florida, then the Republican establishment goes into complete panic mode.
No, totally. But I think here's the thing. Number one is that Florida always has had a lot of early voting. All right. So there has been a significant percentage of
The estimate I saw last night was a quarter of the expected turnout is expected to be absentee, and half of that quarter has actually already submitted their ballots.
Right. And so the one thing is that because of that, okay, the effect of this is not as great as it would be in other places, okay? All right? The change in the polls. That's
although people have pointed out that, although this is not universally true, you tend to get the people who are most set on their candidates are more likely to vote early because they're not still making up their mind.
Right.
So these early folks might be a lot of Ron Paul folks. It might be a lot of, a lot of the people who are undecided are going to wait as long as they can before making the decision.
So the
people who could move based on these kinds of things probably can still move.
They can still move, but I think that it still reduces it. It narrows the pool of people who could change their mind. And let's face it, the swing over in South Carolina was so massive, for God's sakes.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, there had to be people who were probably dead set on Romney like 2 weeks ago that all of a sudden switched.
Well, I think so. And I mean, let's not pretend. I mean, this isn't like all Gingrich, sudden everybody's deciding Gingrich is wonderful. Romney had a really bad week. He was making mistakes all week long.
Right.
Yes, a cow goes moo.
Moo. Moo. No. So anyway, I mean, look. I still think that Romney's still going to pull it out. It's just, here's the thing about this whole thing. What is this showing? This shows what we talked about a number of weeks ago, which is the fact that the Republicans, during the entire process, have not been happy with this candidate pool, period.
No.
Okay? All right?
Nobody's excited about Romney.
No, nobody's excited about Romney. Nobody's really comfortable with Gingrich, and nobody fucking's comfortable with St. Forum or Paul or any of them. They are just not like. I mean, compared, even McCain, they were a hell of a lot more enthusiastic about McCain than they are about Romney. I'll tell you this. I think that they could like. There were like, I think McCain as a candidate had a number of things that just made him seem more decisive and consistent. Okay? All right? Than Romney.
Yeah.
Let's start with the fact he's not from fucking Massachusetts. Let's start off with that. I mean, I think that POW from Massachusetts, from a state that is not in the Northeast. I mean, he had a lot of things going. And Romney's
I completely agree. Romney is a weaker candidate than McCain was.
Yeah. So I just, but the reality is that the business establishment of the side of the Republican Party cannot, in any good conscience, go and fucking flood Gingrich or Santorum's coffers with money. They're not going to do it.
Right.
It's just not going to happen. This is their guy. So, they've got a big problem.
Yeah, I mean...
And Alex apparently agrees.
He's trying to stick a little plastic egg thing on my nose. anyway, look. I still think Romney... Yeah, people are premature. Yes, Gingrich is a concern here. But Romney is still the front runner here. Romney still has to lose this. I mean, he's doing a good job of losing it. He keeps fucking up.
Yeah, he is. My God, Jesus Christ. You talk about...
But...
You talk about fucking up on a consistent basis. I mean, my God. The guy.
One of the things people look at it these days is Intrade, where people can bet on these kinds of things. Yes, Alex?
And he's still the front runner on the Intrade trade, if I remember correctly, right? And
his odds are around 70-something percent on Intrade.
What are they doing? Are they pulling your nose?
Some juice, yes. But yeah, his odds are still somewhere around 70% on in-trade right now compared to Gingrich's 25%. My personal estimate is probably closer to 80. But, like, if you'd asked me a week ago, I would have said 95. So, okay. I mean, he's definitely been hurt by this week. But I think he's still the leader. He's still... Florida's a very different state than South Carolina, and I, you know, you alluded to this earlier, but that state is going to be blanketed, absolutely, totally, totally blanketed by negative ads against Gingrich for it, you know, until the primary's there. Right. And that's going to take a toll. Yeah, it's been pointed out, on the other hand, it's like, is there anything new about Gingrich? I mean, all the negative stuff has been pouring out for months. Right. And we've known this guy for decades.
Right.
You know, is there really anything new, or is this already all baked in? Do people all say, oh, yeah, he's an asshole, but that's okay, we want an asshole?
No. I don't think it's baked in, because I'll tell you why. The main reason is because maybe a lot of the people, like you said, there's people that have already made their decision. But the people who haven't really made the decision are not paying that close of an attention to it. So when it comes down to, say, a state like Florida, where the airwaves have already been started to be blanketed. I mean, I've been seeing all these Romney ads all over the place. And, like, I've seen a hell of a lot of Romney ads. I haven't seen a lot of, like... Gingrich or anybody else.
And that's one of the things too. I mean, Gingrich is
don't got all, no money.
Yeah, he's all talking about how he needs money right now. Yes, I know. I put you down. He's all talking. Every time he comes up, he's sending people to his website for money because he needs money to continue to compete.
Right.
And same with Santorum. Although I heard Santorum, again being tone deaf, named his money-running effort really unfortunately. It was like Conservatives United Money Bomb or something like that.
What?
Yes. but anyway, but yeah, like money will be a factor here. And as this goes on, so will be the fact of things like the fact that Gingrich didn't bother to properly get on the ballot in Virginia.
You know, a few stakes, right?
Yeah. Now, again, if Gingrich pulls out Florida, then Romney's chances drop even further.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, you know.
I mean... Yeah, if Romney has to pull out Florida here, if I mean, I'm not saying that Newt is completely out if he doesn't do Florida, but if Newt, this will be yet another inflection point of the campaign. You know, everything after Florida depends on what happens in Florida. You know, if Romney is able to pull it out, it's back to inevitability, and it's just a question of, will it be a long, hard slog to get there? If Gingrich wins Florida, everybody's going to be saying Romney's done. He won't actually be done, but everybody—that's where the narrative will go at that point.
I still think that he's going to freaking like win Florida. I mean, let me see.
So you talk to local Republicans. What are they saying?
Romney.
Yeah?
Yeah. Romney.
They're like...
Yeah. They've been trying to sell me on the whole Romney thing.
Now, of course, yeah. You probably talk to business-style Republicans more than...
No. I mean, well, one of them is a business-style Republican, but I talk to a couple of other people who were, like, Christian conservative, whatever, and they were all selling me on Romney, too.
Yeah? Okay.
So...
I don't think you're buying.
I don't see a Gingrich selling all that well in Florida as a thing.
Although polls have shown that he's does fairly well among senior citizens. And Florida's known for that.
Well, it depends on which part of the state.
I know.
I guess we've got to remember, you know, like down here in South Florida, what I've seen is a lot of Romney. Okay? Right.
But what about Tallahassee?
I got invited to an event Yeah, but that's much smaller part. I got invited to an event that I declined because they call it the Jeb Bush and some other conservatives were hosting it down. I should have. I've been debating about going or not. It's just that I got to join their club, and it's all a fucking Republican club. I'm not going to join it just because I want to see this. Okay, I'm not going to do this. I mean, I wouldn't join a Democratic club. Okay, let me be clear about this. I mean, even though I lean that way, I still wouldn't join one of those. But I, you know, they had this thing where they were going to have a debate watching event like it's this week. And I was reading some of the stuff from them, and definitely they were all like Jeb Bush and ex-Secretary of Commerce under the Bush administration, and very, you know, Hispanic Cuban leadership. They were all Romney.
Well, you did say a very important thing. Florida's a big state. Different parts of the state are very different from each other.
Agreed.
Miami is not like the Panhandle. Florida.
No,
you know?
Definitely not. Definitely.
But
Central Florida is very Democratic.
This is a Republican primary.
Right, no, I know. But what I'm talking about is – I'm talking about – really what I'm saying by that is I'm talking about the voters in the middle, okay, which some that are not registered – that could be leaning either way. I mean, you have a lot of like – I've seen a lot of people that are registered Republicans that are like centrists to a certain way that, you know, they're not going to vote for Gingrich, you know. So you've got – I mean, I still have difficulty seeing Gingrich win Florida.
I will point out that unlike South Carolina was an open primary, meaning anybody could go vote regardless of party – they just don't have party registration in South Carolina. Florida, however, is a closed primary. You have to Republican to vote.
That's correct. So, I mean, so that also changes the dynamic substantially. And I still think that amongst registered Republicans that are really, you know, real freaking Republicans, I think that the plurality would vote for Romney.
And that's certainly what the polls have said so far. But again, the last poll was before Gingrich's latest rise. And so we'll see if that changes. And then we'll see what happens after that. But I still think, you know, in the end, Romney will be the nominee. And the only question is, how much fun do we have on the way there?
I agree. I mean, it's just, it would be quite interesting to see in the Gingrich candidacy. But, you know, I think that I was reading, what the heck was it? Look, from a conservative commentator wrote, about Gingrich being a candidate, he said, Gingrich is very smart. He's got 100 ideas, 97 are brilliant, and 3 will blow up the world.
Yeah, I could see that. Although I would say out of his 100 ideas, I would probably reduce the brilliance quotient.
Right.
Some that are dumb. But yes, there are 3 that will blow up the world.
Exactly, 3 will blow up the world. So, and that was from a Republican.
The Republican establishment views a Gingrich candidacy as like one of the worst things that could possibly happen.
Correct. Absolutely.
And so, you know, I've seen a number of columns in the last few hours basically talking about how the establishment will not let this happen.
Yeah.
They will bring everything it takes to stop Gingrich.
Every fucking thing. I am very sure of it. I mean, this is, you know, we are going to see the fucking, like, you know, the onslaught like we've never seen.
Well, and Gingrich has shown that he's got no compunctions about doing the same to Romney. You know?
Totally.
He's going to be playing dirty ball, too. I mean, he's doing the Bain stuff. I wouldn't be surprised if he starts pulling out the Mormon card, more and more explicitly. I mean, to try to get the religious evangelicals to be like, oh, he's not one of us. It's going to get pretty darn dirty in here.
Dude, you know? Right now, look, anything can change, obviously. Still hold to my prediction, but right now, I mean, this is just, this is like the Republicans' worst fucking nightmare right now. That's the reality. It is the Republicans' worst fucking nightmare. I mean, they thought, I think, in May or in June that Perry was going to come in and this was the guy. Yes, we finally got a candidate that we all could rally around, and Perry just, you know, fucking like just, I mean, sucked. Okay? So Perry goes in, fucks up. We're like, oh, fuck, Perry sucks. Well, shit, we still got Romney, right? Yeah, we still got Romney. Yeah, you know. And then, you know, all the same boogaboos, all the same problems. For more than we want to say, that, you know, let's face it. I mean, the Republicans rely significantly on a Christian conservative movement that is just not going to vote for a Mormon.
Yeah.
They're not going to do it.
Anyway, yeah, fun stuff. I do want to mention, since we're, you know, starting to talk about like it, that I am doing my general election models. I sent Yvonne a preview in the mail last night, but coming soon, maybe even before this podcast is posted, depends if I have time and I get my act together. But I'm starting to do the same kind of analysis I did 4 years ago, looking at state by state polls for the general election. I've put together my spreadsheets and everything for Romney versus Obama right now. I think my policy is going to be, if Gingrich actually takes the delegate lead, then I'll go ahead and do the effort to set up the same thing for Gingrich versus Obama. But it's a shitload of work, so I, you know,
right.
He better,
he's gotta really, like, I mean, let's face it. I believe Romney wins Florida, and this is game over.
Right.
That's I think.
Yeah, if Romney wins Florida, then
it's game over.
The wind is certainly taken completely out of Gingrich's sails. He thinks he has a few additional states to compete in Super Tuesday and stuff like that.
Whatever. Bullshit.
But, you know, Romney will pull significantly ahead. It will have shown that Gingrich might have been able to win Florida, but it was a fluke.
Right.
And so, yeah, so it might be over. But anyway, or, like, if Gingrich wins Florida, who the fuck knows?
Who the fuck knows?
But anyway, general election, just the preview is basically the battleground states look very similar to what they have done in the past. We're basically talking sort of from west to east: Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Iowa, Missouri, Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, Virginia, North Carolina, and New Hampshire. Those are the states where the election is going to be decided this time around, assuming it's Romney. Those are all states that are too close to call. And it is in the margin where, you know, if Romney wins every single one of those too close to call states, he'll win by 58 electoral votes. If Obama wins every single one of those too close to call states, he wins by 99 electoral votes. And if at each state you just take the average of the last five polls right now, regardless of how small the margin is, you end up with Obama 330, Romney 208, which is Obama winning by 61 electoral votes. Now, it's very early, and some states have not actually been polled extensively. So, like, I'm using the previous election year results as sort of a baseline, actually the previous two, 2004 and 2008. So, and we've got, you know, 10 months. So a lot's going to happen between now and there. But this just shows that structurally, regardless of everything else that, you know, people have been saying sort of because of the economy, the Republicans have a slight advantage right now. I don't think so. Right
it
now, if
like
you look
these
at it,
four
state
years
by,
just flew by. I can't believe that we're already like,
I know.
You know, it's no, I know. It's
but if you look at it right now, I think Obama has the structural advantage going in. This is his election to lose. You know, if we were right where we are right now voting, Obama would win. You know, and it wouldn't be as it would be by less of a margin than the last time around, but he would win. And I think he's got the advantage. He's got this to lose. This is why, you know, I continue to stand by my prediction that he will be reelected, because Romney is such a fuck up. He's so weak, and he's going to be even weaker if he has a long battle here. It's not going to be like people say about Clinton versus Obama, where they think it made Obama a stronger candidate for the general. I think this is going to be an all-out bloodbath, and it'll only hurt Romney. And
my
God, if it's Gingrich, it's going to be the kind of landslide we haven't seen in decades. For Obama, to be clear.
The Gingrich Santorum ticket. Yeah, that's not going to polarize anybody.
Anyway, I think that's a show. We've been going on and on and on. And
actually, I think we did just write an hour. Okay, so
yeah, just over an hour. Plus, we'll add into breaks, so we're a little right. Long, but whatever. So, thanks for listening again, everybody. Email me ablesmay@ablesmay.com with any questions. You got
exactly.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Goodbye.
Bye bye.